This is Andy.
And this is Matt.
And you're listening to
The Hop Podcast with No Name.
What a dumb name.
It's so stupid. Let's start. I was ready to say let's begin, and then I wanted to switch it up. But now I realize because I sound so sick.
You sound so bad.
It could be like we have a guest. Maybe it's not Matt. Maybe it's someone else. And they started differently. I don't know. Episode 33.
Do they have the same sort of sense of humor as you do?
No, whoever this guest is. Switch it up. So if you've listened for 32 episodes and you've been really tired of my sense of humor, it's going to be all different today. It's a new person.
You don't sound great, huh?
No. I think it's just from being near you for as long as I was last week. That's the only, I'm not actually sick. There's nothing medically wrong with me. The antibiotics are just for show.
That sounds right. All right.
We have a trend going. We're going to keep it going.
Okay. That's what we're doing today, huh?
That's what we're doing today.
Okay. Yeah. So what we have been talking about are, I think I made up a term. I didn't make it up, but I used a term of micro integration last time. And so we're going to keep going with it. And you made the same facial expression you're making right now when I said it the first time, which is, that's how I know it's the right thing to do.
The only things that come to mind when someone says micro is microeconomics. Where'd you think I was going?
Nope.
Okay. No, yeah, okay. I didn't think so. All
right. So we are going to talk about these micro integrations. What we mean by that is that they're not large swing changes that maybe an organization is making, or changes that like one person who might have control over a program might sort of integrate hop concepts into it. Instead, we're trying to focus on some things that even if your organization is not in a place of making any sort of large change, that you might be able to do something differently.
Which this is actually fun. I think I mentioned this last time. And if I did, I'm sick, so give me a pass, please. if you've heard about this recently or in the past couple months or year, and you're like, man, this sounds great, but I don't know what to do. This is what to do. This is it. This is like, don't go out and be like, well, I have authority, so I'm going to make everything different now. This is how you get to sort of see if there's proof in the pudding.
Yeah.
Which I hate that phrase.
I've said it a few times.
Awful phrase.
Now
it is.
It's stuck.
Makes pudding anymore? But that's I think really a good way to think about it. It's just you want to do hop. This is a way to do hop and see if it makes sense to you or there's any merit to it.
Yeah. And the direction this is coming from is from the experiences that I had at that time in history in my own organization. So it's from the lens of an environmental health and safety leader at like a site level, because that's who I was.
Okay.
In my history, just open up the history books. And
it was 400 years.
Yeah. And so we've shared a few, and we're just going to share a few more and see if any of them help anyone. Not that you have to use these ideas, but maybe it'll spark some ideas of your own as to how you want to use some of the concepts within your own sphere of control.
Yeah, which for me can sometimes be the hardest part. And we talk about this off air often. I've never said that
off
before.
Off air.
Oh my God. What has happened to me? we talk about this often, which is, for me, the hardest part is sometimes I don't come from safety, and sometimes even we talk about this every day. It's my full-time job, and I often will struggle with applying it to my old world because it's sometimes hard to extrapolate something out from an idea to action, and these are just some examples. So you're right. They might not be exactly what you can do, but maybe they're close enough to where you can pull it into your world and make it your own, but give you some idea.
Yeah. Or at least that's the hope. And
hopefully
you all can teach us whether that's true or not. Okay. So one of the places that I ended up doing quite a bit of work was actually in how we were learning about events and trying to help a little bit. This would be in this a space of influence rather than direct control, help a little bit set up some of the questions that we might want to ask in order to see whether or not we took enough time to actually understand context when we did events. So I think I mentioned on a previous episode that we had this sort of this global call after you have a safety related or environmentally related incident, you would do your investigation and then you would sort of report out on this global call. And I had mentioned that I started doing some type of operational learning and I'd come back on that call. The other thing that I did around that call is that the person who led it worked in the same campus that I did. So the person who was generally facilitating discussion. And when I started to change how I was doing my own investigations over and over again, sitting on that call, I'd see sort of the patterns of, you know, people only focusing on retraining. And I kept asking myself, what must we think the problems are in order to believe that these solution sets are going to change it? And I would want someone else to see what I was seeing, but I didn't know how to do that because I'm just sitting there on the call like anyone else. And so I tried something. And in this case, what I did is actually there was a folder that we had to put all of our presentations in before the actual call. And I went to go look at that folder and I looked at all of the different events that were going to be reported out later that day. And I printed them out and then I looked at them and I was like, okay, if I was going to facilitate this discussion, which I'm not, by the way, that wasn't my role. But if I was going to facilitate this discussion, what questions would I be asking to help people think about these events differently?
Just quick question.
Yes.
How far away were you removed from facilitating that discussion? That's like from a hierarchy
so
standpoint.
So far. So one, two, three levels at least. Yeah, three levels away.
Okay. Just for context. I just want to know.
Three levels away and 15 years of experience and a very large salary difference.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, absolutely.
Just wanted to bring you back to those days. Knock you down a few pegs. Yeah, keep going.
So it started off as just, it was like a learning exercise for me. And I didn't spend a considerable amount of time on it. I just printed it out. And a little bit before the call, I looked at it and I flipped the sheet over and I wrote the questions on the back of it of what I would ask. And then we went through the call and I listened to the person that was facilitating it. And I looked at the questions that I thought we should ask. And I was like, I really think that these would be helpful questions. I don't know. I think it would help us understand more about the event, understand the extent of, you know, whether or not the process normally runs that way, or this was a crazy exception. And so what I did is I took that stack of papers and I brought it to the person who facilitates the call. And I said, I had some thoughts before the call about the questions that I thought would be helpful to ask. And I jotted them down and I would love your feedback on them. Right. So I didn't go and say, you should ask these questions. Right. I said, I would love your feedback. We just had the call and these are the types of things that I was curious about. And I'd love your feedback as to whether or not you think I'm thinking about these things in the right direction. And I just left it there and walked away. And the next time that he saw me around.
That sounds like a really weird interaction. I'm sure there was a little more to it than yeah. I just left
no,
it here
and
walked
away. Throw the packet on his, here, take this. No, I had a bit of a conversation on like, hey, I was trying to learn more and I'm trying to see, I think the direction I took is I was like, I'm trying to see whether or not any of these events would be applicable at my location here.
Gotcha, okay.
I wrote these questions down. These are things that I'd be curious about that I don't feel like we answered in how we were talking about the event. I'm just curious if you have some time, if you could give me some feedback on them. And I left them there. And then walked away.
I had to ask because there definitely is a version of you that would just do that the first
time. Just hand it to him. It's like throw it at somebody.
Theories. What do you think? All right, I'll see you later. Okay, good. Good to know.
And sort of the next, within the next week, right, when I saw him, he said that he really liked the questions. And I said, excellent. I wrote those before the call. Would you like me to do it again? And he said, yes. And I had no idea if he was going to use the questions or not, but I did the same exercise and wrote them down on the back of the piece of paper. And then I left it on his desk. This time I really just did leave it on his desk because it wasn't around, right? Left it on his desk before the next call. And then during the call, right, he would ask his normal questions. And then every once in a while, I think he flipped the page over because he would ask the question that was written on the back of the paper. And so I just started to do that every week. I'd print them out and I would leave them on his desk. And what that enabled us to do, it was just start the conversation a little bit differently on a larger scale than what had been happening just at my one location of, asking questions differently. And then by asking questions differently, people started to become curious and getting different information, mainly because they wanted to be able to answer the question. Mm-hmm. I mean, because their leaders was asking it. And so they would see the pattern and how the questions were being asked. And so they would go start to learn a little bit more information.
How much hop exposure, if any, did this leader have?
I really don't know the answer to that question. I would say in how they interacted, they generally were looking for system problems.
Okay.
I don't think that that originated from like hop concepts though, right? Because if you're in the safety space, oftentimes you're taught to look for system problems, right? That's not just, you know, not just specific to HOP. So I don't think a ton of exposure to it. It's not like it was a vernacular that we're using, or even that I explained, like I didn't hand the questions over and be like, these are hop related questions in that interaction. So I think the starting piece of the puzzle that made that reasonable for me to do was because this person was absolutely interested in system level problems.
Yeah, I think I imagine it would take a different conversation, at least to start, if you were going to get someone who is so focused on purpose and problems.
Absolutely.
To be able to even hear the fact that we might want to ask different questions. But
yeah.
If you, in this case, you had someone who was already thinking this way or adjacent to this way, and you just said, let me help you a little bit.
Yeah.
Make it a little easier. Hey, I don't want to take something off your plate. I know that you're very busy and I'm sure thinking of the questions, it takes a lot of energy and time. Let me just give you something here. Here's a little, just under the table. I got some questions for you in case you need it. Here you go.
And I mean, when I look back at sort of the pattern of things that I did, honestly, a lot of them fell into that category of trying to help somebody else with something they already had to do in a slightly different way so that I wasn't imposing my will upon someone, right? I wasn't telling them they had to do something differently, and I wasn't trying to convince them to put more effort and energy into something. All I wanted was to give enough of a change either to prove something to myself, which honestly, in this circumstance, like I would like to believe, like altruistically, I believed that in asking these questions differently on this global call, that we were going to influence a bunch of people's thought process. I think that's probably something that I put in my mind after the fact, meaning my motivation in that moment was truthfully to understand more about the events because I didn't feel like I could learn anything from them in the way that they were presented. They were presented as like specific, like factual tiny pieces of information without a larger story of how work was being done, without enough contextual information to know much at all, just a couple conditions and then sort of broad brushed a problem that was then very hard for me to figure out if it applied. I could pretend that the broad brush problem applied in my world, but it didn't feel like there was enough information to really even know where to go look yet. So it was probably more selfish on my end than.
See, that's something I can believe. Now we're getting to it.
Yeah. So that was one thing. Now, obviously, that's a really specific circumstance that you'd have to be in to be able to do that. And that was absolutely in a sphere of influence, not a sphere of direct control. So I guess the next one that I'd want to give would be something in a sphere of direct control.
Yeah. Don't look at me. I wasn't you 15 years ago, whatever it was, doing this.
You're like nodding along. You're like, yeah.
You should give another example that's in your control.
So the other place that I integrated these concepts were actually pretty much, I would say, outside of the safety space directly. I was lucky enough that I got to be part of some of the Kaizen events that we had in various places within the organization. And
why don't you take... I'll give you 9 seconds to explain what a Kaizen event is.
Yeah, so if you're learning in the lean space, right, it'd be areas that we know that we need to make some sort of improvement in. And so you bring people together to learn about current state and then mark areas where we would want to make some improvements. Very similar to if you're picturing understanding what a learning team is like, right? We're going to have real problem statements and then we're going to try storm and try to make some continuous improvement changes and then measure whether or not we've actually made a change. In order to facilitate those discussions, like how I was originally taught to prepare for one of these events is that you take whatever your standard operating procedure is, whether you call it a router, there's a bunch of different names for it, but it's the documents that people are actually using that have the information of what they're supposed to do to the product or what steps they're supposed to follow. And at least how I was taught to do this, right? You lay all of that information out, and you'd call it your current state value stream map. So you actually take that information and you lay it out in a very specific way, in order to be able to visually see how the process is running. And you put some specific data points in terms of how long things take, you know, whether or not you've got work in progress. So a lot of really specific contextual information. And I used to hunt for that information, put it in. And I was really proud of my current state value stream maps because I put a lot of work into them. But then when I learned about these HOP concepts, I realized that maybe I had been missing the point as to how to make a current state value stream map, because I was using documentation to do it. And I oftentimes was doing it with very little help. Meaning that I was taking the documentation and then going to ask some specific questions, but it was just me putting it together. And I'm not the person who's actually executing the work. Now, when we started...
We got that.
Oh, yeah.
No. I think episode 33, they figured it out.
All right. So when people came in to actually like look at the current state and talk through problems, I would ask them to verify what was up there, which I thought was enough at the time. But then in integrating these ideas, I realized that sometimes how we're actually getting something done is vastly different from what's written down, and it has a lot of variation to it. So even in the way that I was creating the value stream maps, I don't think I was respecting the amount of complexity that actually existed or the amount of variation somebody would see. And so the last one that I did, which was the sort of the last opportunity within my organization to run one of these, I didn't use the documentation to do the current state value stream.
Whoa.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds big.
Which for me was a wild departure from what we had done before. Maybe for some other folks that seems pretty normal, but for me, wild departure. Instead, I had people walk me through how they are actually doing it in real life without having the documentation out. And I still did that before the event, right? But I would just go out on the floor and learn about it and take notes and ask people all the questions of like, yeah, is it always presented to you that way? Or like, tell me some of a really good day of what it looks like. Help me understand a really good bad day of what it looks like. And then the end result of the current state, honestly, was so much messier than it had been. That I realized that I don't even know if historically I'd gotten to the right problem statements to even address in our event, because my mental model of reality had been oversimplified compared to what people were actually dealing with.
So it was heavy black line.
Oh yeah. It was almost all black line, right? With like a tiny bit of, you know, somebody pointing out, oh yeah, you know, normally those two processes are switched or something, but not blue line at all. So if you had to put it into HOP terminology, that'd be a great way of saying it.
Oh yeah, I mean, it took me a second to say it. But I think that's actually something we hear quite often.
Mm.
And I'll just briefly explain, and then you can add color to it maybe. But the idea that usually people who aren't doing the work are creating or updating the procedure.
Mm.
And then they'll say it to us with such a great sense of pride, which is, no. And then once we're done updating it, we make sure the people doing the work get a chance to look at it and tell us, they verify that it's accurate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And maybe historically that's not how it was. So this is an improvement, but there's so many different questions we can ask to get such richer information. And even the simple ones are just like, hey, this is what we updated. Not even just the updates in the procedure, just show us where it doesn't make sense to follow this.
Yeah.
Anything else, right? Just anything else. But
adding a few other questions to even like, if we don't want to change how we're writing procedures dramatically, like today's not the day to do it, right? We're not in the place of like, hey, you know, I have control over that part of the process. Just if you have to verify anything, you're right. Asking just a few more questions of like, hey, does this even come close to reflecting how we do it? Give people more space to tell you a larger truth, right? Because oftentimes what we found is the procedure looks so different than reality that people sort of, they read the procedure as though it was the idealized state that it sort of is intended to be. And they make edits to that idealized state, mm-hmm. but it just doesn't reflect the non-idealized reality of what it actually means to do the work. And it's almost like we're talking two different languages. It's not like people are lying. They're not saying, you know, they're not finding the like non-existent places to make improvements, or that they're saying that the procedure, you know, is a lie, but they are saying, yeah, I mean, that's if everything works perfectly, and I've never seen it work perfectly before. Yeah. So,
but if you're writing it down, I guess that would be yes, the right way. If everything's working perfectly,
yeah. Right.
So like getting the voice of the worker, great. But sometimes it's almost like we're getting an illusion of the voice of the worker.
Right.
And so there's ways that we can go about getting it that would just continue to help us evolve. Yeah. That's the way I'd phrase it.
Absolutely. So it's the difference between kind of, can you look at this procedure and tell me what's wrong with it? Which the underlying non-spoken words there are often in this idealized state as to how this procedure is written. Can you find some errors or some things that we should change? Right. That's the rest of the sentence that's not said, versus going to somebody and being like, hey, does what is written down here look anything like how we actually have to get the work done? And can you show me where there's large differences? That's a very different question that has, you know, different layers of assumptions put in it.
I mean, it's the difference between, hey, this procedure is correct, right? Or, hey, I know this procedure is probably off.
Right, exactly.
Can you just teach me where and when it's off?
Yeah, yeah, and how, and is it even close?
Like, yeah, right.
and the great part is if it is close, people tell you, right? Like just giving that space in the conversation to allow people to tell you the vastness of a difference is great. And if it's not vast, then people tell you like, oh yeah, no, this is actually quite similar to what we have to do. Yeah. So those were the two things, right? The two things were not using the written documentation in case there was a vast difference in creating a current state value stream map, which since then I've done with other organizations like as part of operational learning.
Yep.
And it seems to work pretty well in terms of laying things out so we can sort of all see where some of our difficulties are. And then the other one was an interesting place of influence that I happened to have in that moment to try to help us ask different types of questions post-event so that we could learn more contextual information.
All right. Episode 33. Check. Done. Are we going back to more of these for next episode, or are we going to try something new?
I think it depends upon if people want more. We've got a couple more. If they do, great. If not, we'll do something new.
Yeah. This is the mystery. True choose your own adventure. Hopefully by then I'm not sick. If I am, don't bring it up, please. It's just a sinus infection. I'll be all right. We'll talk soon. Thanks, everyone.
Well, that's it.
Yep. Another one in the books. We did it.
If you want to send us any of your thoughts, actually fling us any of your thoughts, you can do so at the website www.hoppodcast.com.
That's hoppodcast.com.
Still such a stupid name.
We look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for listening.